I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Notre Dame still very much in their feelings today. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to Perloff's birds biting it on Monday Night Football. They lose to the Chargers 22-19 in overtime. The defense finally shows up for the Eagles, but Pearl, the offense was on a milk carton once again. It was five total turnovers for Jalen Hurts, four interceptions and a fumble. The last interception was in overtime as the Eagles are driving to win the game. And it was just a terrible night for Jalen Hurts. It was a terrible night for Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. And I just think there's no hope left for Philly. But meanwhile, Notre Dame.
Yeah, thank God. Let's talk about something other than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, misery loves company, I guess, is what we would say when it comes to that. And obviously, Notre Dame is absolutely miserable right now. Let's welcome in Nicole Auerbach. She covers college football and is the lead college football insider for NBC Sports. She's also on Sirius XM. We absolutely love following her on social media as well. Nicole, thanks so much for the time. We know it's busy right now. How are you?
Doing well, trying to catch up on some sleep after the weekend that was and all the arguing and the anger, but ready to continue dissecting it.
Okay, so let's get into it because obviously Notre Dame is still one of the biggest stories and takeaways, how they got sort of snubbed by the committee because they had been consistently ranked above Miami until those final rankings. Kind of felt like the rug got pulled out from under them. What will the fallout be, if any, from the College Football Playoff Committee leaving Notre Dame out of this bracket?
Well, I think the fallout, hopefully, this is something I've been arguing for a number of years. I'm hoping it affects the weekly rankings. I think we need to get rid of them. And if you go through this experience where we had to take them seriously for 5 weeks, and then they decide at the very last second in the rankings that matter that they're going to reverse the order and address the head-to-head result from week one that we have all asked them about every single week, then we need to stop with the charade that the weekly rankings matter or that they are to be taken seriously. It's also, I don't think people would have had an issue with the final rankings. Let's say we had one check-in, you know, like they do for March Madness, they do like a top four seed lines check-in with like a month and a half to go. You do one of those check-ins for college football, and then we just get the final rankings, the final, all of the information, all the games are done. And you look at those and you see Miami ahead of Notre Dame, you're like, okay, you know what, that makes sense. They played and they beat them. It's that you had 5 weeks of Notre Dame ahead of them in these rankings when they were a couple spots apart. And now you have a committee chair saying, well, the head-to-head result only comes into play when they're literally side by side in the rankings, as if they can't be compared when there's one team in between them as a buffer. I mean, the whole process is the problem. I think most people would have understood having Miami ahead of Notre Dame at the end, but it's that you spent 5 weeks telling us the opposite or making up reasons that Notre Dame could be ahead of them if they're, you know, very close in the rankings. So to me, that's where this needs to go. I think you got to get rid of the weekly rankings. You definitely got to get rid of the Tuesday before championship week rankings, because that's where they box themselves into a whole bunch of problems. And that's when Alabama flipped ahead of Notre Dame off of a win over 5-7 Auburn. So I think that's the whole, that charade needs to go.
Nicole, at the end, considering the rules that there are now, do you think they got the right 12 teams?
I'm fine with Miami being ahead of Notre Dame. I would have had both of those teams in and Alabama out. There have been years where it mattered how you were playing down the stretch. You know, when Florida State was undefeated and the ACC champion, the reason they got left out, the committee was like, you know, they haven't been playing well. They're a different team without their quarterback, and they're not playing well. We want the best teams that are playing the best now. Alabama is not one of the best teams that's playing the best now. They haven't played well in over a month. And to be blown out in conference championship weekend the day before and not drop at all in the rankings, I just think is inexcusable. So to me, that was an easy change, that you drop them two spots or one spot or whatever it is, like you did with BYU, like you have done for other conference champions in the past. Last year, SMU lost by 3 points in the ACC championship game and went from 8 to 10. They stayed in the bracket, but that was two spots. Alabama not moving at all is counter to every behavior we have had from the committee handling conference championship game results. There need to be stakes there. If you can benefit from playing well in those games, then something has to happen when you don't play well. So I think that was a mistake. And I think Miami and Notre Dame deserve to be in and are both teams that are capable of winning multiple games in the college football playoff. And I think that's what's tough when you look at this format. And I think a lot of people are going to be complaining about two group of five teams as well, because again, if you only have a maximum of one, that allows, you know, Notre Dame to be in the field. But the idea of having teams that are playing well, that are capable of potentially getting to a national championship game, winning it all, Notre Dame is one of those teams. And so it is a shame that they're not going to get to play for it for two games that have combined four losses, where the committee chair, for some reason, told the rest of the committee to rewatch a week one game as if it matters how Notre Dame played 3 months ago as you're evaluating them now. But Alabama's loss to Florida State 3 months ago, or Alabama's loss on Saturday, did not factor in. So just a lot of inconsistencies and frustrations. And I think they're missing a team that could certainly have been capable of getting all the way to the championship game in Notre Dame.
Nicole Auerbach is joining us, NBC Sports. She's the lead college football insider. So why do you think Alabama did get the benefit of the doubt? Because we saw the committee leave out Notre Dame, whose national brand or international brand, you could say, is right there, if not bigger than Alabama.
Well, I think they're protecting conference championship games. You know, if you drop a team that played in a conference championship game and put in another team that didn't play that weekend, imagine the uproar. I mean, no one's going to, first of all, a lot of coaches and teams don't want to play in these games anyway, especially if you think you're in. I mean, we just thought there's a bunch of SEC teams that are hosting first round games, didn't have to play this weekend. They're happy with that. The problem is that they built a system with the 12-team playoff with conference championship games included, because there's a lot of competing interest in college football, especially the SEC loves their championship game. So if you penalize the loser of that game and knock them out of the bracket, again, because you do the weekly rankings, because you thought they were in, which is you could erase that problem, but you have these conference championship games and then you, quote, penalize the team and knock them out, no one's ever going to want to play in them. Everyone's going to rip them. The value of those games decreases even more than it's been decreasing year over year in this new model. And so I think it was to protect SEC championship game, to protect championship games, so that you're not knocking teams out for playing in them. And then again, over the last 4 years, Alabama's been right on the cut line for four straight years. And we have seen committees that decide they like the Alabama team or just have respect for, you know, Alabama was the number one seed in the SEC, you know, like they beat Georgia, you know, 2.5 months ago. Like there's going to be reasons that they're going to use to justify. The committee said that this was the reason BYU dropped when they got blown out on Saturday was because they hadn't beat that team, Texas Tech. Alabama had split games with Georgia. I would argue they already got credit for that. That's why they were the 9 seed coming into the weekend, because they beat Georgia. So they kind of got double credit for it, because the committee was coming up with reasons to keep them in and wanting to say, no, we're not going to drop a team from playing in a conference championship game because we know those bring a lot of money, those sell a lot of tickets. We don't want to force that issue this offseason.
Nicole, there were reports before the season that the committee was going to consider strike the schedule a little more this year. Do you think that actually happened?
Well, I think it kind of does. I mean, they get a lot of different metrics. And, you know, I would argue that, like, for some of these SEC teams, the reason they got as close as they did without, like, Vanderbilt didn't really have any big wins. You know, it's probably the strength of schedule metrics, strength of record metrics that help them. But, you know, I think it was similar to what we've seen in years past, especially with the deep SEC. All of those teams are going to have pretty strong metrics because of how deep the conference is. It didn't have, like, an elite team this year, although Georgia is certainly playing that way now. But if you have that middle be really, really strong, the numbers are just going to kind of, like, continually help each other, especially when you have a lot of teams ranked in the top 15. You know, if you're Texas, I guess you would argue that that didn't help you, though. Texas would argue that, hey, we have 3 wins in the top 15 and that we didn't even get close enough to sniff the college football playoff. The counter argument is, of course, well, you lost to Florida. That was a bad loss. And they would say, well, look at Alabama's resume, right? So there's some circular logic, and there's definitely some teams that should be upset about hearing that certain things were going to be important in team evaluation and them not applying to their team.
Nicole, last one for me, and thanks so much for doing this. And I know you're busy, and this is a great time of year. We got the 4 Heisman finalists. So we got Fernando Mendoza, we got Diego Pavia, Julian Sayin, and Jeremiah Love. I don't know if you're allowed to tell us who you're leaning towards, voting towards, but we'll take that if you can. And also, how close do you think this race is going to be?
So I'm not allowed to tell you guys. That is one of the rules, which I also think should change, because then we can't really talk all week. So I already voted. I will tell you that 2 of the guys that I voted for in that group, hopefully they're not going to do anything bad about that. But, you know, I think it's going to be really close. It was a really weird race this year. Felt very wide open. You know, I think the Big Ten championship game was something a lot of people were waiting to see because, again, 2 of those 4 finalists were participating in that. It was going to be a big opportunity for moments for, you know, just the high quality of opponent that they were going to be playing. And then you've had Diego Pavia, who didn't play this weekend. Jeremiah Love didn't play this weekend. So you were wondering, hey, can they stay on voters' minds even without participating in championship weekend? And then, you know, one thing I will say, you know, just as you think about the Heisman this week and as we get into the ceremony this weekend, you know, I always think a little bit about, obviously we look up stats and metrics and you decide MVP versus most outstanding player. But I also think about the story of the season. And, you know, when you look back and you're like, all right, 2025, this Heisman winner, yes, that was the story of this season. That was one of the major storylines, through lines of this season. And I think that this group actually did a pretty good job of representing that, certainly with Fernando Mendoza and what he did at Indiana, and then Diego Pavia and a 10-win Vanderbilt team, which, by the way, is crazy. The Indiana and Vanderbilt quarterbacks are Heisman finalists. But then Notre Dame and the way that their through line of this season and even the snub are going to be things we remember from this season. And then Ohio State and just the record-setting performances from Julian Sayin as an accurate passer and efficiency and the defense and just, you know, trying to go back-to-back. I actually think that they did a great job of collecting the 4 players that really had a lot to say about this season. And so I'm excited for them. They all have incredible stories to get here. And it was a weird year where we started with Arch Manning as the Heisman favorite. I don't think any of these 4 guys necessarily thought that they would be there. But that's what you love about it. That's why, you know, it was a really interesting Heisman race and excited to see who gets to lift the trophy.
Nicole, love watching you on NBC. You do a great job all season long. It's a fantastic show. Love reading you as well. And good luck. Have fun covering this crazy college football playoff.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate that. All right. Coming up later in the hour, we're going to do more college football because why not? This is the time of year. Josh Pate will join us in just a moment.
All right, Maggie, there isn't college football for a little while. Actually, no, we do have it coming up this weekend, but there's so much sports going on right now. There's NBA, there's hockey, there's soccer, and the best place to enjoy it all is, of course, Prize Picks. And right now, you can get the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. It's so simple to use. You pick 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on their stat projections, and then if you're right, you can win big. Watch your lineups light up just like the holidays.
Okay, tonight, I've already told you, my play, Anthony Black. I'm going more than 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists with the Orlando Magic to take on the Miami Heat. And then I'm thinking about changing from RJ Godfrey, Pearl, but I do love Godfrey. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about changing to maybe Ivan Barbashev, of course, your favorite from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Ivan the Great.
Yes.
Ivan the Terrible, I mean.
Yeah, well, something like that. 1.5 shots on goal. Let's go more then. This is what we love about Prize Picks. It always gets us psyched for the night ahead. And all you got to do to play along with us is download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Code M&P on Prize Picks. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're giving Perloff a little reprieve from talking about how embarrassing the Eagles were last night by diving headfirst into college football. And it's our pleasure to welcome in one of our favorites, Josh Pate. Josh Pate's college football show is absolute must listen. Josh, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, I guess. It just feels like we're living in a, I don't know, like the sporting version of a hurricane. Solid Category 4 here right now, and everyone's trying to make sense of it as it's going on. But it could be worse, I guess. I could be doing something I don't love for a living, but it's It's very confusing in the college football world right now.
Well, considering you're like a part-time storm chaser, when you say we're in the middle of a hurricane, I'm going to tend to believe you. And you're probably doing better than Pete Bavakwa, who's the athletic director for Notre Dame. So let's start there. He goes on Dan Patrick's show yesterday, Josh, and it says that the ACC has now done permanent damage to their relationship with Notre Dame, which we know is different for football than 20-plus other sports. Do you feel like that's an empty threat from the Notre Dame athletic director, or could he actually do something? And is there a split coming, you think, between these two entities?
Look, yes, it's a threat. It may be an empty threat or it may not. But here's the part no one really wants to say but is probably true. If you zoom it out from, let's say, 20,000 feet to 50,000 feet, Maggie, no one really thinks the ACC is going to exist 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Just because the footing is so uncertain, there's constant rumor of realignment. Just recently, within the past year, I've been on this show and we have discussed two member institutions suing and then withdrawing lawsuits to try and get out of the ACC. So I think what Pete's probably doing is he's probably making that kind of threat that he knows he can make because it'll really be a moot point down the road. What bothered me, I guess, what aggravated me more than anything with this whole ordeal is I just wish people could stay focused on one point, the proper point. This is a life problem I have right now, but specifically a college football playoff problem. So to give you my stance on this, I actually think the committee's rankings were as close to accurate as they could get given their parameters. Like, I don't want two G5 teams in, but those are the rules right now. So like, the rankings I didn't have a problem with. Their process was so horrifically fumbled. It was terrible. So Pete Bavakwa made that point yesterday. I thought he articulated it brilliantly. Whether he thinks Notre Dame should have gotten in or not, he and I can disagree on that. But what he said was, we're not upset with any other team. We got no problem with any other team. And the rankings are what they are. We could debate that. He said, our problem is we were badly misled into believing we were in up until the 11th hour when nothing comparatively changed at the 11th hour between us and Miami. We didn't even play. And then they jumped us. Like, how do we explain that to players? How do you explain that to an adult? And he's right about that. Okay, if you'll just focus on that point, he would get, I would imagine, 75 to 80% plus public approval, even from people who do believe Notre Dame shouldn't have been in. But instead, it dovetails down this rabbit hole of this and that and trying to follow through to illogical conclusions, like threatening the ACC. Just keep that to yourself, because you're not earning any public trust or support with that. Stick to the broadly shared public consensus points that you happen to be right about, and I think you get a lot further in this.
Josh, our executive producer, EJ Stewart, is a big Miami Hurricanes fan. He was depressed about 2 weeks ago. I sent a clip of you explaining why Miami should probably get in over Notre Dame. How surprised were you on Sunday when it actually happened?
I'd say mildly surprised, only because just the impact of how sudden the announcement is, I think, has that kind of impact on everyone. But for the 2 weeks leading up, and especially the last week, the penultimate week leading up to the rankings being released, I mean, we had continued to really, really traffic hard on my show, at least, in the possibility of that happening. And the only question was, in those penultimate rankings, were they going to keep Alabama and Brigham Young between Notre Dame and Miami? When they jumped Alabama over Notre Dame, and then Hunter Yurecek, the playoff committee chair, went on national TV with Reese Davis and said, yes, even though these teams do not play in the final weekend, they are not fixed. They can still move. I thought that really set the table for what ended up happening. Now, you may be driving around listening right now thinking to yourself, what sense does that make? Like, if Miami was better than Notre Dame the week before, certainly they were better the previous week before that. Well, yeah, trust me, don't try and apply logic to this. It's totally illogical to begin with. But I thought also one of the things the committee would never admit, and they were pressed on it publicly, and they disavowed any legitimacy, and I flat out think they're lying about this, is the fact that Duke winning the ACC championship game triggered this into motion. I think it absolutely helped trigger it into motion, because what I'm talking about there, for those unfamiliar, is Duke winning the ACC championship game assured that the ACC's conference champ was not going to qualify for the playoff. And so the only way the ACC was going to get a team in was an at-large bid. And the only ACC at-large team even within arm's reach of the playoff was Miami. I thought that pushed them over the finish line as much as anything at the 11th hour, and the committee would never admit that. They just stuck with the head-to-head stuff. But the head-to-head stuff already existed the week before, and it apparently didn't matter. I think them having to look the prospect of no power for representation from the ACC in the eye really impacted them.
Josh Pate is joining us. Of course, Josh Pate's college football show is absolute must listen for all college football fans. Okay, we talked a lot about the bracket. We can talk about the future of the group of five and all that. But Josh, I think now, I know it's only Tuesday, but we move fast in this media world. I think people now are looking ahead to maybe the first round of the games. Is there an upset that you see happening in this first round? And if you've already, can you give who you think is going to win the whole thing? Like, what do you think about what's going to happen in the actual bracket that we have, even if nobody seems happy with these 12 teams?
Yeah, I am told that we do eventually have to move on and play the games. That is a very good point here. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we'll do it eventually. So I am going to stick with Ohio State winning the whole thing until further notice. Because I think them losing in the Big Ten title game could just serve to wake them up like it did before. So I think that if you're talking about upsets in the first round, certainly I don't think Tulane or James Madison stand much of a chance of that. And so really what we have to ask ourselves is, how do you view, Miami going to A&M? Like, how big an upset is it if Miami wins? And here's a really fun one. Is it an upset if Alabama goes on the road and wins against Oklahoma? Because I think recency bias and people who don't pay attention to point spreads would say, yeah, man, Alabama looked terrible. They looked horrible. They shouldn't have got in to begin with. They're going to go and get drugged by Oklahoma. Oklahoma will stifle them defensively, and they are more rested. And I just need to pause for a second and inform everyone that Alabama opened as a point spread favorite in that game. So at the very least, from an oddsmaker's perspective, it figures to be competitive. And also remember, I mean, I've been around that Alabama team in the past month. They're as beat to death as any of these playoff contending teams. And I don't know how healthy they'll get, but they'll get healthier. One of the real key components with them is they use the tailback in the passing game a lot. And their top two guys were down for that Georgia game, and it showed big time. So I don't even know, out of the two games that I expect to be competitive, I don't really know that there is upset potential, because even with Miami and A&M and Miami, one of the big fears of people of them getting in the playoff is they possess a couple of like stalwart future Sunday style defensive ends that pose a matchup problem to anyone. Miami's like, just their athletic profile compares favorably to anyone in this playoff. So it wouldn't be an upset to me at all if either of those teams won in any combination.
Josh, how seriously should we take Texas Tech?
I take them serious. It's a really good question, though, because the premise of it, I think, includes that Big 12 sticker. And I think a lot of people will look at Texas Tech and they'll see a Big 12 team. And there's a little pejorative connotation to that for obvious reasons, because it's an inferior conference, or at least it has been in recent history, to the likes of the SEC or the Big 10. I do not look at Texas Tech as a Big 12 team. You would be much better, from an expectation standpoint, looking at Texas Tech as an independent. Just pretend they're another Notre Dame. You don't affiliate them with the style of play of a conference, because what they have, especially in their defensive front, personnel standpoint-wise, they have Big Ten, SEC, upper-tier talent there, which means they can take over a game, they can disrupt timing and rhythm and flow, and they've got the kind of bodies that can present the matchup problems that you're not used to talking about with a Big 12 team. A Big 12 team, has to bubblegum and paperclip their way to a win in these spots, or they need to score 40 in these spots. That's not Texas Tech. Texas Tech could go out there, hang 23 points, and have it be good enough against legitimate competition. It also comes with a unique set of expectations, and that's been the case out there all year. Because of the way they portaled all these guys in, it has very clearly been win the Big 12 and win in the playoff or bust. So they've done one. We'll see if they can do the rest.
Josh, we know we only have you for another minute or so, and thanks so much for doing this, because we know you are super busy. Let's just say, for example, because you mentioned Alabama, I just want to follow up on that. Let's say they do lose to Oklahoma. They're too hurt, and they lose to Oklahoma now twice in a little bit of, like, a month. Do you think Kalen DeBoer is on the hot seat coming into next season? Because that Penn State Kalen DeBoer rumor kind of hung around for a little too long, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought that, look, this is just my opinion. I've told him this. I thought he should have shot it down earlier.
Yeah.
But his attitude was, I'm not going to bring up rumors about myself. If someone wants to ask me in a press conference, which they finally did, I'll be happy to shoot it down. You are right. That lingered, and there was no legitimacy to it, but you are right nonetheless. It lingered. And the answer to the first part of the question is, no, I don't think from a hot seat perspective. I do think there'll be a lot of talk from the Bama portion of the fan base, especially the generation that came up under Saban, who have completely warped college football worldviews and expectations. Those people will be very upset, and no one will be particularly happy. But to me, there's a big bridge, sort of the Ryan Day logic from last year. There should be a long bridge between I'm unhappy and this guy's on the hot seat, and I don't think we'd be across that bridge yet.
Josh, again, thank you for the time. Love listening to the Josh Pate's College Football Show, watching you on ESPN, doing a great job, and enjoy covering this crazy college football bracket.
I appreciate it, everyone.
Thank you. All right, let's turn to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest headlines for us on a very busy Tuesday.
Maggie Pearl, Justin Herbert completed less than half of his passes. He threw for less than 150 yards, committed 2 turnovers, was sacked 7 times, but somehow beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football.
Hurts pulls it, throws, intercepted, game over! Intercepted, game over! Deion Henley, game over, the fourth interception, Tony Jefferson!
Cry me a river, little Philadelphia fans.
Tony Jefferson catching.
I'm saying Manny's not even here, but he's here today.
Tony Jefferson catching the deflected pass at the 1-yard line for the game-ending INT. The Chargers sneaking out of SoFi with a 22-19 win. Cameron Dicker's 54-yard field goal to start OT ends up being the difference. As you heard Matt Money Smith say, Jalen Hurts threw 4 passes to a Charger in this one. On one return, L.A. fumbled it back to Hurts, who then fumbled it back to them. So 5 total turnovers, the first player since at least 1978 with 2 on 1 play.
Bogues, that's not really fair to say he threw 4 passes to Chargers defenders. We know he threw 5, but one guy trapped the ball that was also overthrown.
Yeah.
And maybe 6, actually. Yeah. Yeah, he seemed to, he liked the light blue jerseys or whatever color they were wearing last night.
The Eagles have now lost 3 straight, a free fall that began with wasting that 21-0 lead in Dallas.
Wow. Jeez, folks. Hold on. They have a 93% chance to make the playoffs. Like, the Eagles are going
to
be in our life for the next 2 months. We're not getting rid of them that easily.
Out.
They don't get a salute tap.
They're going to host a playoff game.
Yeah, they are going to host a wild card game.
And probably win it.
Probably win it.
Yep.
And then, and by the way, I mean, you have no idea. I am saying Jalen Hurts is done. The Eagles are done. You have kind of no idea, because even last night, they could not have played worse. What was the win percentage? I mean, they should have won that game at least 6 different times.
No, bro, we can't do this now. You called this play that Jalen Hurts played, the butt fumble of the Philadelphia Eagles.
No,
and now, look, so you think San Francisco 49ers come to town if
they kill the Niners. I mean, I don't think the Niners. The Niners would not be a good matchup in Philadelphia right now.
I have to remember how to silence my phone when the Eagles are beating the Niners in the playoffs, so I don't have to hear this guy back on the bandwagon.
But God forbid.
Also, they make it to the divisional round. Can you really call it a disappointment of a season? I mean, I know that the Super Bowl
champ. Yes.
Okay.
I think you can.
Oh, I mean, because they... Yes, that would definitely be a disappointment. But, yeah, imagine if they had to play the NFC. Can we get an NFC South team? I guess that doesn't work that way in the house. That'd be good.
You know, I was thinking about EJ's question about Jalen Hurts' terrible night. And the play where he turns the ball over 2 in 1 play, is that the worst play by the most talented athlete that we have? And I was thinking about it. Bill Buckner was an all-star.
Yeah, but was he having health issues and had trouble getting down?
No, he was. He was hurt.
He shouldn't have been playing.
He was as old as Philip Rivers.
That too.
Didn't have a pass rush bearing down on him necessarily. But I was thinking Buckner, maybe the other guy who actually was a super talented baseball player who is known more for a gaff.
Yeah. But we need somebody like in their prime that makes.
So Shep texted me a good one. He had Chris Webber's timeout.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
David Shepard coming through.
Yeah.
How about the one that Dolphins?
But that's also that wasn't a play. It was a brain fart. Like, Jalen Hurts threw the interception, then fumbled the ball. It's like physical things.
Oh, yeah.
Webber's was mental, but I like Shep's answer.
I mean, what are the most embarrassing plays of all time? I would say I saw a highlight of Garo Yepremian, the Dolphins kicker, who tried to throw the ball in the Super Bowl. Was he good? He was definitely good.
He was a kicker.
Was he a Hall of Famer?
Kickers now?
He was like a big-time kicker. Dan Orlovsky touching the back of the end zone.
But Dan is more famous for being on TV now.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, how good was Leon Lett? I mean, he is several.
Yeah, Lett was very good.
Because those plays, actually, all, again, not defending, it is a hysterical play, but all Jalen Hurts really did was fumble the ball. He got the ball knocked out of his hand.
No, he threw an interception first, then he fumbled. That's what
I know, but
hilarious.
Individually.
And then he fumbled it again.
The embarrassing, throwing an interception itself, not embarrassing. Fumbling the ball, not that embarrassing. The combo is what gets you, I guess.
And he was like in the open field.
it seemed like, the Eagles going to get a good big break because Jalen Hurts was on the money. Oh, wait, never mind. He just fumbled.
Yeah, it's very different than like Mariano Rivera serves up a home run in the World Series. Like, what are you going to do? He's a talented guy, but that was just sort of straightforward.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going to throw the ball and the ball goes backwards. Or like I did in my fourth grade All-Star game when I was so nervous in center field that I threw the ball and it almost hit me in the foot because it went straight down because I held on to it too long. There are definitely all sorts of gaps. I think did fumble.
I think I have the one. I think it's got to be Jim Marshall.
Running the wrong way.
Running the wrong way into the end zone.
Into the end zone.
And then throwing a ball into the stands and then the guy in the Niners just shaking his hand and be like, thanks, guy.
Yeah,
this game was a touchdown or a safety.
I'm not sure this will make the list. Do you think?
Yep.
It was Monday Night Football. Yeah.
Yes, I mean,
Gary Yepremian, which was in the Super Bowl, is number 10 on this list, and I can't even get to the other. So there's no way it's beating that. That play is iconic.
All right.
But people like Duncan R. Hurts. For whatever
and Philadelphia.
Reason.
And, but the visual is not going to be as good.
Philadelphia like Duncan on Hurts, apparently.
Yeah, you guys do not like Jalen Hurts.
Nobody dislikes Jalen Hurts more than Philadelphia.
Exactly.
The rest of people, I think, are somewhat agnostic.
You always hurt the ones you love.
And that's why you're going to keep this play in existence. I think you guys are always going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be Sports Talk Radio shorthand. Jalen Hurts.
And he can't hold the ball.
He can't hold the ball. Meanwhile, the guy that has thrown two picks all year.
Two turnovers.
Oh, get out of here. Philadelphia fans, by the way, you say they know more football than anybody.
They're very smart.
They're crazy informed.
Very smart. They're just ruthless, is what I'm saying. And they don't let up.
No, they have a whole catalog of things that annoy them about Jalen Hurts. It goes far, far deeper than this play.
Yeah, past trauma when the team has 8 wins. And Perloff just said, we'll beat the 49ers.
I don't think
anyone from the first round that may come to Philly.
But the 49ers do not belong in this playoff hunt. That was just a quirk of a schedule.
Oh, we'll talk about that tomorrow. What's up? What else you got?
The latest on Philip Rivers. His workout with the Colts apparently was last night. He threw the ball well. Apparently he is in good-ish shape. So their talks about a mini reunion here continue, all because Daniel Jones officially has a torn Achilles. Riley Leonard hurt a knee while relieving Jones last weekend. And Anthony Richardson is still on IR because he somehow broke his face warming up for a game back in October.
That's no joke. He almost lost his eye.
I know.
Crazy.
It was a band snapped.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, Rivers, who is a Hall of Fame semifinalist this year, his 5-year wait would restart if he ends up on the Colts roster. Yeah. Being signed to the practice squad wouldn't affect that. But once he moves to the active roster, that clock gets reset to 0.
Okay, so I don't think this should matter because you're either a Hall of Famer the day you retire or you're not a Hall of Famer, but 5 years might hurt Philip Rivers because he doesn't have a Super Bowl appearance, only one appearance in the AFC Championship game, and the numbers are just going to continue to be more and more meaningless as we move on, right? Football numbers, I don't think those benchmarks, I don't think passing yards and stuff like that are things that are getting guys into the Hall. So does 5 years actually hurt Rivers for the Hall of Fame, Pearl, when you have guys like Stafford coming up behind him and we're in this golden era now, feels like, of quarterbacks, or at least I think we're in a golden era of quarterbacks, and you're going to have Rivers and Roethlisberger, and you have guys and Drew Brees who won Super Bowls who are going to be around this time.
Yeah, he's going to be with Russell Wilson in theory.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Time, you look back and time makes you think of the positives more than the negatives. Maybe his reputation gets better.
Also, well, what if he looks bad in these? Let's say they sign him and he goes out and he looks
totally
part of his age.
0% impact.
So you don't think that Russell Wilson, the end of his career, has had an impact? Him looking bad.
I mean, maybe, but it shouldn't. I mean, Rivers got 8 Pro Bowls. Like,
no,
it's going to be hard to
keep
him.
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying he's going to now be coming up with
class. A 3-game thing. No, but I don't know if it's going to be crowded. His numbers are actually going the other way, right? The passing numbers are going down. For whatever reason, So he was sort of at the end of the big, big numbers. We'll see if they come back, but remember, everybody was throwing 45 touchdowns like 3 years ago. It's a slight exaggeration. I don't think he's in any trouble.
Let's do some baseball hot stove. Pete Alonso, because he's Pete Alonso, is expected to drive today from his Florida home to Orlando to be at winter meetings, meeting with the Red Sox and the Orioles at least. What about the Mets? Here's their president, David Stearns.
I did see Pete was coming. I think Pete knows us really well. I think we know Pete really well. I think he'll take the time here to perhaps meet with organizations he doesn't know quite as well, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Wait, hold on. You can't give him that much credit. I mean, I love Pete Alonso. I hope he resigns with the Mets. But he's from Tampa. Tampa to Orlando is an hour and 20 minutes. It's nothing.
But he's going to be in his like F-150.
But just he can't take a private jet.
Yeah, he could.
It's 84 miles.
The Kardashians take private planes for like 11 seconds in California.
And they're evil.
I know, but Pete Alonso could definitely be or driven there or helicoptered there. He's going to put like a little wad of a Zin in his lip and put
listen
on like
to classic rock and
exactly.
Go. I love that about
and
him.
Rock his way to Orlando.
There is something interesting about driving yourself to winter meetings.
Who else would drive? You think Pete Alonso has a chauffeur?
I think his agent could send a black Ford whatever to pick
who,
him up.
Boris?
Yeah.
That's too bougie, guys.
That's the point. He's not getting driven there. He's going to show up and hand his keys to the valet and walk into the hotel and go, hey, guys, Pete's here. He's not going to show up in like a suit, get out of a black car.
I think these guys drive themselves to the ballpark every day. Some of them take the train, but like they don't have drivers who take them every day to the ballpark.
Right, but he's also now showing up to this place as one of the marquee people available.
Oh, so he's got to show up in a stretch limousine?
Yeah.
It looks phony. It's Pete Alonso.
I don't know. This feels not phony, but it feels like he wants us to know that he's doing this.
It's just goofy Alonso.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
But become totally useless once you become famous? Like, he can't drive himself anymore? The Rock drives himself everywhere. Do you guys know that? He has never used a chauffeur, according to him.
I mean, to me, if I wanted to, I don't know, if I had the means to not, I don't drive, but if I had the means to not drive for an hour and a half, and I could think about what I want to say to these teams, what questions I have.
You think Pete Alonso's giving any kind of foresight on what he's going to say to the Red Sox?
Why is he meetings with these teams then? I hope he would have something to say.
Because Boris told him to do it.
Say hi, I'm Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Boris should send a car for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't want to make small talk.
You think Alex Bregman's getting out of his regular car?
He's got a rental car?
Yeah.
Maybe, hopefully Ryan Tannehill's wife didn't have it before and left her AR-15 in the backseat. Call back from earlier in the show.
Although
you never know in a rental car in Florida. If I gave you what's one state in the union where someone might leave their AR-15 in the backseat, might be Florida.
Florida man strikes again.
Yeah, exactly. I've got family in Florida. I can say stuff like that.
I do not, but
it's still funny.
All right, folks. That's where we got to leave it. Thank you so much. Yes.
I have a more embarrassing play.
Ooh.
Hold it.
From this season. Yes, I know. I understand how it works.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, I have a more embarrassing play. And not only is it more embarrassing, it happened this season.
Okay.
In which sport? In the NFL?
NFL.
All right.
Well, if you went to all sports, there's got to be a lot of options. But no, NFL.
We're asking today, EJ's question, was Jalen Hurts' two turnovers on the same play, is that the most embarrassing play by the most talented athlete that we've seen? 888-710-4ISN.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. That's a tough assignment this week. We still have college football going on, NFL, NBA, NHL. Got any guesses, Maggie?
Yeah, this should not be hard at all. The one and only answer is Christian Benford for the Buffalo Bills, who could have been in the running for it last week, what he did against the Steelers, but this week changed the game with the pick six against Joe Burrow. They were dead in the water, Buffalo was, until that play. And EJ, I have a feeling that you're with me on this one.
Oh, can I make a nomination that you probably didn't do? Did anybody watch the Vikings-Commanders game? Of course not, but Harrison Smith played amazing. And then he gave this tear-jerking speech in the locker room about how great football is. Mm. I would go Harrison Smith, who, not quite Hall of Fame player, but great player, who's probably nearing the end.
Yeah, because beating Marcus Mariota is the same thing as beating Joe Burrow.
Oh, he had to beat Jaden Daniels first.
Well, they knocked him out.
Yeah, so it wasn't just Marcus Mariota.
All right, Jaden Daniels versus Joe Burrow. Still not a comparison.
Okay, so watch out. Treadmills in New Jersey. This was a doozy here in Buffalo.
From the 33. Oh, my goodness! Look out here! Christian Benford! Gift wrap! The other way! Touchdown! What just happened? 67 yards!
Yes, Christian Benford is your Defensive Player of the Week. As much as it pains me to give love to a Buffalo Bill with their season, I kind of think on the line, like if we lose that game, you're now in complete free fall, I think, with the Buffalo Bills. Season turned on that play. Shout out to Benford. Joe Burrow, man. What was that about? That end of that game was not good for him. But shout out to Benford. He is your Defensive Player of the Week.
Back-to-back Joe Burrow interceptions. And the win probability changed dramatically on that play. Like it was, I thought it was, they put the stat up, Pro, that the Bengals were 78% chance to win the game, and then that happened, and it completely flipped. Okay, you went to break with the big tease.
Yeah, we got a more embarrassing play than Jalen Hurts, a double turnover in one play.
Yeah, we were asking, is this the worst play from the most talented athlete like that we have? The most embarrassing, like Mark Sanchez at the butt fumble. Mark Sanchez was not a great quarterback. Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP, has a circus play that's going to be remembered forever. So what do you think can top it?
Well, it didn't even happen that long ago. Do you guys, it happened for a team that plays in this city.
Nothing. Oh, I know what you're doing. I love it.
Go ahead, DJ.
Russell Wilson throwing the ball at the crossbar.
What?
Oh, come on. Wait. Russell Wilson throwing four straight plays and he doesn't throw it to an intended receiver. That wasn't where you were going?
Was it Younghoe Koo dirtying the ball? But he's not a great kicker.
Younghoe Koo kicking into the ground. That we laughed good. About that for about an hour and a half.
Younghoe Koo duffing the ball or duffing the, what do we even call that? Dirting it? I don't even know.
I've never seen that before. There's no explanation.
He kicked
for
the ground.
That was bad.
He said that the holder was thought he was fumbling the ball and didn't think the holder had the ball, so he tried to stop his kick. But it looked like he kicked the ground about a foot in front of the thing. That was considered pretty embarrassing. I remember you were laughing pretty hard.
Oh, I was. But Younghoe Koo, he was a good kicker, but he's really fallen off.
He's the most accurate kicker in the NFL for a long time.
I will say, though, Russell Wilson throwing a ball away.
That was terrible. On fourth down.
Fourth down in the red zone is insane.
His stats when he ends up getting benched anyway.
Oh, man, that was rough.
All right, Phil's in Pennsylvania, wants to commiserate with Perloff because the Philadelphia Eagles went down hard last night in overtime. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Morning, Maggie. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm actually just peachy. I actually want to thank Maggie for adopting my preseason hot take.
What's that?
A few weeks ago, right after the Eagles lost to Dallas, you put forward the suggestion that Jalen Hurts should be traded. I called in before the season, early August, and said less than 3 years, Jalen Hurts would be traded before any of this even happened. So,
good luck trading him now, Phil. He threw four picks and he makes $55 million. No, I'm just kidding. What do you think, Pearl? Jalen Hurts trade market, is that a possibility?
I literally had a half-hour debate with our friend Spike Eskin about this the other day. I don't see a quarterback that expensive being tradable.
Well, maybe in a couple of years, but they are definitely going to trade.
Did they trade Carson Wentz? Phil, I don't even remember. Did they trade Carson Wentz or cut him?
They traded him.
They traded him.
For
they
like a third, right?
Maybe trade him to Indianapolis right now.
Yeah.
They need somebody.
Yeah, that would be a great.
Phil, that was a diabolical cackle.
No, I mean, actually, that would be legit. Indianapolis, they didn't pay Daniel Jones yet, right?
No.
Oh.
No, well, and plus, they don't have two first-round picks since they traded for Sauce Gardner, so I'm not sure what they're going to get back for him.
Yeah, but then again, they can't give a first-round pick for him. They don't have him.
Well, maybe in 3 years.
Phil, you think Colts are going to trade their...
the future first. Phil, thanks for the phone call. Sorry about your birds last night. Too bad this is not like the NBA where you can get like a third team involved.
I don't know. Well, it may be because of the money that would make some sense. I mean, obviously, if there's anybody who can save Jalen Hurts, it's Shane Steichen, maybe. It's kind of hard, though, because they don't have any picks to give up for him. They need to draft somebody eventually.
Teams in the NBA are trading 2031 draft picks, so...
Too bad.
But the Indianapolis Colts should not be a bleep them picks team. They're not good enough to do that.
Too late.
Yeah.
They went all in with Gardner. All right, that's where we got to leave it. EJ Stewart, thank you so much. Nico Scarlatos, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Ken Golden, who joined us with his memorabilia Netflix show, really cool, Golden Auctions. Thank you to Josh Pate and Nicole Auerbach. Tomorrow is Wednesday, which means we'll be here with the great debate for you. And enjoy the rest of your awesome Tuesday.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.